The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Anyway, Dermot Gavin, as you know, is already here. Dermot, how are the garden consultations going?
Very well. I'm really enjoying them. It allows me to help a lot of people in all sorts of different places with their gardens. They send me information in advance, I prepare, and then we meet for an hour and I send a report. So it's great fun.
And it's value for money, that's for sure.
I think it is, yeah.
Okay, at Dermot Gavin on Instagram is where you can find all the details. Now, last week we were looking at the grand gardens of the Palace of Het Loo, built for King Billy and his Mrs. Mary. Every avenue and fountain was about power and control and aristocratic splendour. You've got something entirely different this week.
So completely different and much more soulful in a way. So we're talking about Derek Jarman's garden. In Het Loo, it was all about domination. It was all about dominating people, showing people how powerful, how wealthy you were, how in tune with the high arts you were. This time we come to a very simple garden that is probably at this stage, and a very contemporary garden, and is probably at this stage more well known. So it is amazing what an artist or a person or a gardener can achieve with even a small plot.
Talk to us about Derek Jarman himself. Who was he?
Derek Jarman was an avant-garde. Actually, I was listening to a podcast on the way in, and it was the podcast was made by English Heritage, who had put up one of these blue plaques on one of the places that he lived. And they were restricted to 20 words. So, and three of those words, you know, the words were Derek Jarman lived here. But what were they going to say? So artist, filmmaker, but they could have said writer. They sort of could have said gardener and so a philosopher, so many other things. He was a creator in the 1980s, 1970s and 1980s. He was born in the suburbs of London. He was an activist, a queer activist in terms of when that was highly political, when Clause 28 was a big issue in the Margaret Thatcher era. But he made these avant-garde movies. He made pop videos on the side. So Pet Shop Boys, It's a Sin, Marianne Faithfull, Broken English, all of those, they were, again, a job on the side, all his work. But he made films like Caravaggio and indeed in Dungeness at Prospect College. He made a film in his dying days called The Garden.
You've sent me some pictures of his garden, and it's Spartan.
And that was the place. So he knew of Dungeness, and I think he first went there with the actress who was his muse, Tilda Swinton. And he was having dinner in a pub, and somebody mentioned in the pub that an old fisherman's cottage was for sale. And immediately he decided he'd had a bequest, and immediately he decided he was going to buy that. He was drawn to places that were Spartan. Now, this is Spartan on another level. It's on a shingle beach. It would appear that nothing would survive there. Mm. It's in the shadow of a nuclear power station. So it's a desolate place.
I mean, the pictures you sent me, there's a picture which shows in the background quite clearly this hulking power station, which looks to be about a kilometre away from him.
Absolutely, or even less. So it was full of shipwrecks, open skies, winds and storms, and you name it, everything was shoved at this house, which had to be painted with tar to survive the elements. But there was something that always attracted him to flat landscapes. Like he had a great association with places like Cambridge. So when he found what he named Prosper Cottage, he decided that this would be his home. Mm.
So looking at the terrain, I mean, he seems to have added pebble himself to kind of put manners on some of the terrain. No,
this was only pebble. So there's no sand, it's only pebble. So it was quite hard to walk in the place. It was quite hard to get to the sea because the pebble with the storms and the winds would form huge banks. That we'd imagine the sands shifting just outside Dubai or something like that. Shingle was all there was. There was hardly any soil. So anything he did was anything he started to grow there when he decided to create a garden was a real task.
Now, the challenge, obviously, you've got the sea air, the salty air, and you've got no great topsoil. So what can you grow?
Well, what he did was go to a local farmer. He'd buy bags of really well-rotted manure. He'd dig holes, but even digging those holes, because as soon as you dig, it filled back in with pebble falling back into it. So anything that was kind of silver-leafed was things that would go. Things like things that were growing in other people's garden around the area and things that were growing in the wild. So sea kale, valerian, poppies, those Icelandic poppies, lavender, wild thyme, foxgloves, santalena. So any of these grey or silver looking plants that are covered in millions of tiny hairs that will help them repel the salt laden kind of winds is what he started to put in.
And one of the plants he put in, lavender.
Lavender. Well, lavender is a Mediterranean plant, grows on very, very poor soil. So that would be really typical of the type of plants that should grow there. Maybe even rosemary would do very well in a place like that. But he has watched Gardener's World and read the magazine, and the plants that he'd see on television, he'd regard them as bloated, spoilt children in a way, overfed, overwatered, overpampered, because his plants were reflecting what he was going through in life. It was all about survival.
Yeah, and he did die prematurely. He died of AIDS.
So this was in the dreadful period of HIV/AIDS emerging. He was watching his friend. He was in his 50s. He was watching friends in their 20s drop and drop and drop. And he was writing these series of diaries. One was called On Nature. And as each friend, as news came through, he just put one line in, such and such died today. So it was a desolate time. He felt at least he'd had a life and he'd had creativity. But these people, you know, that's were absolutely awful and awful to him from this disease that wasn't much known about.
Was he living in Prospect Cottage? I mean, he obviously had things to do, so he had to go to London, I'm sure.
He kept a place in London, but Prospect Cottage was really his refuge. So he was absolutely living there and gardening there and making movies there and writing there. And the writing is remarkable. You know, he'd be writing in his diary about being in bed at night and the storms that would be raging outside. So this London was busy. This was his place of peace and of meditation and of creativity and of gardening.
And looking at the pictures of the house itself, yellow windows, but as you said, black as tar. Walls and roof.
So he brought his creativity to it. He put a poem by John Donne on in relief on one of the exterior walls. Black as tar, he painted the windows yellow. It's kind of very stylish. And then this garden that has no boundaries, that looks into the horizon, you know, where the sky meets the sea. Simple, humble and amazing.
Is it still there?
It's still there, yeah.
And how is it maintained?
There was a big fundraising thing. His partner in life died, I think, about 4 or 5 years ago, and there was a big campaign set up to maintain this garden. Because what happened was his friend Howard Suley, who's a photographer, came along, photographed it, and this book was written called Derek Jarman's Garden, which became a Sunday Times bestseller. So this was really the first contemporary garden that was appreciated by people, and people came to love it because it represented different things to them. So a good amount of money was made, and this garden will be maintained as an institution forever on.
Okay. More details to be found on...
I put lots of images. I put some film on my Instagram, at Dermot Gavin, and on Instagram at 7 o'clock this evening, we'll be telling the story and showing these images.
Dermot Gavin, thank you very much for joining us. And that's all we have time for. A reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show. Congratulations.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On Newstalk.